Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I thank you for joining me. Yesterday, I began a message entitled The Heart of a Worshipper, and we were looking at the subject of worship. And basically, there are examples that are given in the Bible. Abraham, Job, which is perhaps one of the most striking, because even though he was sorely tried, he didn't understand what was going on. His comforters, Job's comforters, his friends that came, sat quietly for a whole week, and then they began to analyze why he was having those difficulties, which, of course, none were correct. It's in the first chapter. If you want to understand the book of Job, it's that God allowed that the example of Job, who was a just and a perfect man, to endure the most difficult of situations, loss of loved ones, his children, and the verbal abuse of his wife, lack of understanding, lack of sympathy. And he had no understanding. And through it all, I believe the point of the book was to demonstrate, not only be a blessing for us and give us understanding, that he proved to Satan, yes, you could take all the blessings that I have given my servant Job, and he will still love and praise me. And that's what Job said, yea, though God slay me, yet will I trust him. And so Job came through that. Yes, he had some lessons to learn, but the challenge of Satan was put to naught, because God took him up on his challenge, Satan's challenge, and Job proved that no matter what he went through, even if God killed him, he would still trust God. He would still worship God. He still believed. In fact, that's the first thing he did when he heard that his children were and livestock were killed and carried off. Anyway, he bowed and worshiped God. And so, beloved, worship is learned. He learned that through a life of righteousness, of fellowship with God. Psalm 89:15 says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. There's nothing more wonderful than to hear people praise God, or even yourself when you're rejoicing and you're thanking God, that joyful sound, because it goes on to say the rest of that verse, they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. They're not going to walk in darkness. They're obeying God. Jesus was a worshiper of all of mankind. He worshiped the Father. He did everything the Father. In fact, at one point in Scripture it says he rejoiced that these deep truths were hidden from the wise and given to babes and children. And he rejoiced. That word says he actually twirled around. He was dancing for happiness. And so also the New English Bible translates that verse, Psalm 89:18, this way: happy the people who have learned to acclaim thee. Learn to praise. Learn to thank. Beloved, it's not a talent we're born with, nor is it a spiritual gifting for a select few. You know, I have noticed over the years sometimes when I visit churches, the congregation, they're not really worshiping God. Oh, some are singing. But I remember as I sat in the back of a church, there was a brother, he was in the back row, and he was leaning against the seat, his legs out, his arms crossed, and it was like a spirit of spectating. And many people, they don't know how to enter in. There's no physical, in fact, the Lord's just quickening. Maybe I ought to preach on the praise and worship again, the entire thing. It was one of the first messages I ever preached. I went through the Bible with nothing but the Bible and a concordance and saw the beautiful patterns and showed how God wanted us to worship Him in body, soul, and spirit. And so, anyway, that was my response. I mean, the very gifted musicians, we don't have to be a musician or play an instrument or even be a singer. You may not have a very good voice, but God loves to hear you praise Him. And so we need to learn to praise God. Worship is, what is it? It's simply the art of expressing oneself to God, however that occurs. I mean, there are folks that are in such desperate physical situations, some who are blind, some who can't speak, some who are confined to wheelchairs, and they may be a deaf mute, they can't hear, or they can speak. So that means they can't worship God? Of course not. It is the art of expressing oneself to God. I heard of a person once, they were in a wheelchair and they were just moving their wheelchair around in graceful, beautiful moments because that was their way of dancing before the Lord. How beautiful is that? How God must have been touched by that. So however it looks in your life, I don't care what your limitations are, if you are able to understand the Word of God. Even those who are blind, they have audio Bibles. So there's ways that God has made through technology, ways that we can really learn the Word of God. And it doesn't matter the situation we are in. As long as we are alive and breathing, God will, regardless of our limitations, we can learn to praise God, whatever that looks like. I remember when I first came to Brother Glass's ministry, I was raised in a denomination, and then I was out in the world for 10 years. I said I'd never be in a church again. I told my aunt that, and I meant that with all sincerity. But I had an encounter with Jesus, and so I was saved and filled with the Spirit in 1 month's time, and I heard the radio broadcast, the Unveil Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Neil Glass, and he was announcing a solemn assembly. I went in to the church, and there was such a presence of God. I'd never been in anything like that before, and he would say, "Let's praise the Lord," and I didn't know anything about praising the Lord, and so people were lifting their arms to God, and so I was very cautious. I kept my arms real close to my body, but I said, well, I'll just extend. I turned my hands from the elbow and had them open that way. And then I find, as I became a little more comfortable and began to learn what it meant to praise God, I lifted my arms a little bit, and then finally, I got them full extension, and I've never been able to get them down since, because there's nothing more joyful than to be able to praise God and to worship God. Just talking about it gets me happy, praise God. So we have to learn how to worship God, however God enables us to express ourselves to Him. And we must learn that expression and open our hearts as channels of the Holy Spirit. And it's learned by doing, however that looks for you. Now, we're going to go to the Bible now, and we're going to look at an example of a worshiper, someone that Jesus really commended because of her heart state. It wasn't even so much what she did, but what she did was an expression of her heart. And we're going to turn to the Gospel of Luke, and I'd like to read verses 36 through 50 that describes this encounter that Jesus had with this woman. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, so he invited him to his house. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meet. And then at those days, they didn't necessarily sit in chairs, but they reclined. And behold, verse 37, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet, behind him weeping, and began to, so she was standing behind him, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now, so she was a broken woman. She was a sinner, and obviously we're all sinners, but there must have, maybe she was a prostitute dressed in such a way that it was evidence of what her profession was. She may have heard Jesus' preaching as he preached in the multitudes, or she could have had a testimony from someone that accepted Jesus. She knew about Jesus, and she entered the Pharisee's house. Now, verse 39, when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself. This is what he was thinking. This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she's a sinner. And Jesus answering and said unto him, his name was Simon, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, they didn't have any money, he frankly, freely and generously, I'm adding, forgave them both. Tell me which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Jesus answered, Thou hast rightly judged. And when he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins? And he said to the woman, Thy faith has saved thee. Go in peace. What a beautiful expression of worship. What a beautiful expression of this interaction with Jesus. It was a common thing because, you know, they wore sandals, that a normal thing of hospitality would be to wash someone's feet. And he was saying, Simon, you didn't do that. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting. You didn't anoint my head with oil. And she, who was, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Why? It doesn't say about a verbal interaction. Her actions expressed the very deepest feelings of her heart. Well, my time is gone. I'll continue tomorrow. And until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, May God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577. Caldwell, Idaho, 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,